Hello and welcome to the Riley Factor, hosted by, of course, A.C. Riley, hence the name. A show part of the Grapple Talk Network family, so make sure to follow Grapple Talk on Facebook and Twitter. You can just search Grapple Talk, or you can go to /TheGrappleTalk for both social media outlets, Facebook and Twitter. Pretty easy to follow everything Grapple Talk for all things upcoming in the Midwest independent scene, upcoming shows for every weekend, and of course, any show results that we're attending, which is actually quite a bit. So you can always be up to date on what's going on in your neck of the woods, as long as we're in your neck of the woods. Grapple Talk Network, if you didn't hear one of the more recent episodes of Grapple Talk, Nick, Jesse, and I, we decided to branch things out a little bit, expand. Nick and Jesse are making some really great discussions, and honestly, it doesn't make sense to completely stop their momentum to tease to an interview they have never heard. Sometimes Nick is in the interview, sometimes Jesse's in the interviews, but most of the case is just me, so it really doesn't make any sense for them to derail everything that they're building up to tease an interview they never heard, and then come back saying it was a great interview when maybe it was shitty. Just be honest. But we decided we'll keep Grapple Talk as a discussion. That will be our flagship show. And then, of course, the Riley Factor and, of course, Jordy Lee's Grapple Deech, which the new name is to be determined. And much more shows coming to the Grapple Talk Network. So might as well just enjoy that. And, of course, we can give you more content and more road trip content to listen to on your long journey to your next show. So hopefully you enjoy this program as much as the upcoming shows that we have for you. So of course, before we get to the interview, which today it will be featuring Aesop Mitchell, who I had a chance to talk with at the last BCW Brew City Wrestling event in West Allis, Wisconsin. First off, enjoying a very nice day here, Monday. I'm out in French Island, got a great view of the river. It's a nice day, it's a gorgeous view, perfect location to record this podcast. Pro Wrestling Battleground is where I was last weekend. I just want to take a minute to talk about them really quick. Great atmosphere. They've been doing shows for the past 10 years. I actually got to do a little bit of ref work when I was still training, and I was. It's interesting to see how far they've come along. 10 years ago when I was starting out and everything, they were at the Armory in Cottage Grove, Minnesota, now in St. Paul, Minnesota at Willebsey's Blue Saloon is the name of the venue that they're at. It's actually a pretty big venue, but obviously when you put a ring in it, it seems a little bit more cozy, but it's actually got a nice feel to it. Because, again, it's a little cozy when you go in to sit down, but at the same time, you feel like you're right in the middle of the action without being cramped. So that's actually kind of a nice thing. The show Perseverance, July 8th, was a great time. Went up there with Devlin Kane, and we just went and watched, and that was actually pretty interesting. The show results were, there was Lore versus Petey Brown for the Breakout Championship. Great little opening match between two up-and-comers in the independent scene. Petey Brown, of course, he's a bit of a party boy. And Lore, he's kind of like a Bruiser Brody mixed with a Briscoe brother. You know, he's got the camo suit or the camo shorts. He likes to fight people, all that fun stuff. Not a ton of emotion, though, out of the match, though, I noticed. You know, here's Lore, he's the breakout champion. You know, he's a big monster, but it almost seems like he's bored, you know. I understand that if you're showcasing that you're a big fighter and you get a guy that's, you know, the party goer and he's not really giving you a challenge, you should be a little bit annoyed, but I don't know. Bored seems like the wrong emotion, but, you know, again, these two are young. So they have plenty of time to kind of figure out who they are and figure out how to react to the crowd. A little tag action between the teams of Stonehenge and the Angry Dragon versus Cal Creed and Tomahawk Kid. Now, Cal Creed, he's one of my boys. Not actually one of mine personally. He's not like one of my rookies or one of my, you know, my kids. But, you know, I enjoy him over at River City Championship Wrestling. Him, Nikki Duche, and I, we do our group together. So, you know, he's been a guy that I've kind of, you know, loved to watch him, you know, blossom into the pro wrestler that I know he'll be. You know, great match there. Great, told a great story. Showed the, you know, it was definitely an oddball tag team match, but overall, I mean, it worked. It was a good way to kind of get the crowd into it and tell a good story of this is what happens when oddball teams. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Next matchup was Airwolf and Scott Storey. I'd actually love to see a little bit more from these guys. Airwolf, the first official graduate of the Academy School of Professional Wrestling, led by Sean Devary and Mr. Anderson. You know, this kid's got unlimited potential. You know, here he is. He's not even 18 yet, and he's already wrestling, you know, places like First for Wrestlepalooza. You know, he's super in high demand, I would say, here in Minnesota. And really, the sky's the limit for him. Honestly, I would not be surprised if down the road, this is going to be the guy that, you know, is probably going to be looked at. You know, especially with everything going on with the Cruiserweight Classic, with 205 Live, I wouldn't be surprised if down the road he's at least getting a look from the Performance Center, because it just seems like it's destined to happen. Scott Storey's, you know, he's got a great story, as it were. It's been interesting because he's being mentored by Pete Huge in Minnesota Independent Wrestling. And, of course, Pete Huge walked away from the independent scene as an active wrestler. Now he's more of a manager of sorts. And it's a great guy to, you know, have as your mentor. You know, I would say that the crowd really came alive for this match. And overall, I mean, hopefully they're building to something more with these guys. I think a lot of people would love to see these two, you know, succeed individually, but of course succeed as a great feud in the Minnesota scene. Next up, we had for the Pro Wrestling Battleground Tag Team Championships, the team of Cody Rice and Giant Griffin versus Joey Avalon and Jordy Lee. Now, this is actually the reason I came out to St. Paul to watch the show, you know, support the guys from the Wisconsin scene in another state. You know, of course, you got Joey and Jordy, who are great talents on their own and great talent as a team because, of course, they know each other so well. And then you got the team of Giant Griffin and Cody Rice. And, you know, it's an interesting playback to just, you know, the inaugural tag team championship match, the tournament. This was the finals match. This was to determine the first champions, and then to see kind of the other way go around. These guys, you know, definitely a candidate for match of the night. I think everybody was really into it. You know, they told a phenomenal story. I can't say enough good things about this tag match, so we'll move along. Eric Cannon versus the Thunder Frogger from Chikara. And of course, Eric Cannon being the official PBR pro wrestler. You know, another great match between those two. The finish was Super Frogger using his mighty Melonger hammer to shockwave the ring, which knocked the ref and Cannon down. He managed to use that to his momentum to get the win. Just it's something that you don't see every day. Honestly, this once Devlin Kane realized that this guy was a Thor frog, you know, a Thunder Frogger, as it were, you know, he was already sold on the guy, and the finish really sold him on it and became one of his new favorite wrestlers. So Thunder Frogger, if you're listening to this, you got a huge fan, Devlin Kane, because of your tribute to the Vikings, as it were. Main event, 30-minute Iron Man match, Darren Corbin versus Venom for the Pro Wrestling Battleground Championship. Another great match. You know, especially with the Iron Man matches, you kind of worry, is the crowd going to be dead in this? But, you know, they kept the crowd the palm of their hands. The finish was great. Corbin ended up accidentally And while being blinded, hitting the ginger snap on the ref. When he came to, he disqualified Darren Corbin, which at this point there was about 15 seconds left. At the time that they announced the decision, by the time he went to go for the pin, time was up. It was a 3-2 victory for Venom. So hopefully this is not the end for these two competitors in the match. Because honestly, I think there's plenty more these guys can do, because of course they know each other so well. That's what makes that match so great. And honestly, just being at that show in the first place really made me think just about the idea of going to a show for fun instead of going to a show because, you know, you're trying to get booked on the show, you know, you're wrestling on the show, you're at the show in some capacity, opposed to just going to a show with no intentions to work, and just sitting down, paying a ticket, and just being lost in the show. And honestly, Pro Wrestling Battleground, that's one of the places I've really enjoyed to just sit down and pay as a ticket, you know, just as a fan. I feel like a lot of wrestlers, a lot of people that are, you know, in the business, as it were, I feel like they don't do that as much anymore. I feel it's the mentality that, you know, if they're not, the whole "I'm not booked, I'm not going" kind of thing. But in reality, I think that's a lost art almost. I feel that if you don't have anything better going on, if there's really no other reason that you're not going opposed to just not going because you're not booked, I just think that's bull. Honestly, I think that, you know, more wrestlers should be going to shows, and, you know, it's an opportunity to really scout the other talent, kind of see what other people are doing. Some, you might see some guys that, you know, you want to put in your bucket list. You might see some new tricks that you really think that would work when you go back to your home base. And of course, you have the opportunity to meet the promoter potentially and talk about working with them in the future. And of course, you know, after a show, most promoters aren't really going to want to talk about booking new talent, but, you know, it never hurts. But, you know, personally, hopefully make it to more Pro Wrestling Battleground shows in the future, because it was a great time. I really enjoyed it. Well, let's get to the interview with Aesop Mitchell. Fun fact about him is that he, before getting into wrestling, he was and is a improv comedian with the group Comedy Sports in Milwaukee. He's been doing that for a couple of years. He got into wrestling, and obviously it shows. You know, he's a great improv wrestler. He's great at, you know, doing comedic acts, and, you know, the sky's the limit for the guy, because he's so young in the business, but you can just tell he's very smart. So we'll get to that interview in just a few seconds. That is the spotlight in the squared circle, as it were, because, well, of course, we'll just keep the name, you know, because really it's still the spotlight, but it's just not on Grapple Talk. It's on the Grapple Talk Network. So here it is, without further ado, my interview with Aesop Mitchell, the Fabled One.
And now, the moment you've been waiting for, it's Spotlight in the Squared Circle.
Spotlight in the Squared Circle, sitting down with Aesop Mitchell. Aesop, thank you for doing the interview here.
Oh yeah, thanks for having me.
So let's get started. So when did you decide that you wanted to get into the wrestling business?
It started about like fall of 2015. I was really kind of looking for a new performance venue. I'm a big theatrical guy. I've always kind of liked wrestling, and, you know, I wanted to kind of better myself too, you know, get into some better shape too. So that's kind of how I got into wrestling. Messaged a whole bunch of promoters. Frankie was the first one to get a hold of me, Frankie DeFalco, and about 3 months later, I was in a BCW ring.
So I think this is kind of interesting. You told me this before, but you were in Comedy Sports.
Still am.
Mm-hmm. So Comedy Sports, for those of you that may not know what that is, it's an improv group. Personally, I think it's one of my favorite improv groups. I'm not saying that because you're right here, but I mean, that's really the only improv group that I would actually go to, you know, any opportunity mm-hmm. that I would have the
yeah.
ability to.
Worldwide, actually. 26 different locations. So it's more than just a group at this point in time. It's a way of life.
It's a phenomenon. Family.
Yeah, for sure.
So I think, you know, coming in from improv in a situation where improv is pretty much a guarantee here in pro wrestling, I gotta say, like, that's, you know, as far as like the in-ring stuff, it would, the mic skills and just like how to be able to handle a situation just on the fly. Like, you're kind of already made in the shade. You have the advantage of, similar to somebody that's like a, amateur wrestler going into wrestling, where you're kind of familiar with the positioning, I guess.
I am an amateur wrestler, too.
There you go.
Former amateur wrestler.
So amateur wrestler in improv. So you're already set for pro wrestling.
To be completely honest, the two different activities are basically mirror images of each other. Mm-hmm. And that's both like in ring and out of the ring, politics stuff. Everything is almost the same between comedy and professional wrestling. It's quite remarkable, and I think about it all the time. Like, wow, I basically left one profession to do almost the exact same thing in another.
So was it by coincidence that you just happened to do improv and amateur wrestling going into pro wrestling, or did you sign up for those two different avenues hopes to kind of?
I've been doing improv for about 10 years.
Okay,
so. Compared to my 1 year in wrestling, they don't exactly have the synchronicity with each
sure.
other. But it seemed a little bit like a pipe dream initially, being a professional wrestler. And I just thought, hell, let's go for it. And
sure.
lo and behold, look at where I am now.
So we kind of have a different opportunity to talk about different stuff because, not many other people go into pro wrestling from improv. So why'd you get into improv? What was the mentality behind that?
I was a big performer, always have been, always liked the stage and the spotlight. I did a couple shows in high school in which my director at the time was a comedy sports player. And he sat me down one day and he's like, I got a test for you. Okay, this is weird. And he's like, I'm just gonna tell you, some accents, some dialects, some celebrity voices, stuff like that.
Sure.
And I just kind of want you to, try to play off a conversation with each one. It's like, okay, that's weird. And he's like, yeah, just go with it. So he sat me down and was like, all right, start talking in northern Wisconsin. Oh, well, golly gee, shucks. This is such a great day for me to be here. And that's probably one of the greatest stories I ever dang heard, don't you know? And he's like, oh, okay. Well, then start talking with a German accent. Oh, well, this is going to be a very interesting day for me. I thought that maybe I should go and talk to my mother, but that didn't work out so very much. And he's like, okay, well then, why don't you try Eddie Murphy? Man, listen here, Shrek. What the hell are you talking about? We're going to have a great damn day. and it just went from there, and he probably did that with like 7 to 10 different like voices.
Yeah.
And he's like, you're perfect for comedy sports. Go and play. I was like, oh.
So okay. So here you are in a theater class and your instructor basically scouts you for comedy sports.
Pretty much. It wasn't even like a class. It was just an extracurricular thing. He tells me to go and do it, and I start taking my first 101 class at 15.
Wow. Is that a normal thing that he would do? Just try to find like the cream of the crop? And
I don't know him doing anything else like that.
Okay.
So as far as I know, I've been one of the only ones. Usually you go through the high school leagues, but I never had that opportunity. There was no high school team for Cudahy High School.
Okay.
So I started doing all the adult improv stuff, like I said, at 15 with a whole bunch of 25 and older people.
They're sure.
Much older people than me.
So I'm still blown away by that because I think it's one of those things where, you go into theater, you go to this, this extracurricular activity and expecting to do, I don't know, what is it, Shakespeare, Hamlet, all that.
I want to say it was Bye Bye Birdie.
Okay, so, here you are, auditioning for Bye Bye Birdie, and then it's like, hey, you want to do something a little different? Hey, you want to do this outside of the extracurriculars
and
do this?
It's been quite an amazing experience. I've met a ton of crazy, cool people, been a part of even crazier opportunities. Again, very similar to wrestling. I've been blown away by my experience there, and that's why I still, still do it here and there. I'll actually be playing in one of the shows tomorrow.
Do you ever try to like incorporate your wrestling with your comedy sports when you go out there?
Do you
try to plug it at all, like while you're there?
Whatever. No, definitely don't do that.
You don't try to be like, hey, if you liked me, I'll be here at the show or whatever.
It's two very different venues. Okay. You know what I mean? Very different stages to perform on.
Sure.
And you know, comedy sports is very family friendly. Not that you know BCW is not, but. You know,
it's a different family-friendly entertainment.
Yeah, a lot of wholesome groups like to go there, and
sure.
You know, I try to stick to the comedy just as well as I do here. I stick to the wrestling.
Absolutely. So you said that you reached out to different promoters to try to start getting into wrestling, but you know, were you a big wrestling fan growing up?
Oh, absolutely.
And then you were just kind of like, well,
absolutely.
Hell, let's see if this is something we can do.
Yeah, no, I definitely wouldn't have pursued it if it's not something that I didn't love. I've always been a huge wrestling guy.
So who was some of that you liked to watch when you grew up?
My favorite wrestler back then was Billy Kidman. I love Billy Kidman.
That's an interesting answer.
That's what everyone has told me. I thought he was the fucking bomb. He was so cool.
Well, that's the beauty of it. It's just like everybody's like, well, you know, Hulk Hogan or the Ultimate Warrior. I mean, for me, it was Kane coming out of Bad Blood.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, that's not like somebody that you're like, oh, that's your moment?
Kidman
that's...
and Ultimate Dragon. Like, I grew up on WCW, so mm-hmm. like that obviously makes sense. But those were the guys, you know. Those were the early card guys
sure.
too. So you know, when I couldn't stay up that late, that's who I got a hold to watch.
Speaking of WCW, just as a quick tangent, like watching '96 Raw and just realizing like the whole Monday Night Wars were kind of going on and everything like that. Is it weird to kind of look back at that? It's like, man, these fucking guys were petty as shit.
Dude.
Like case in point, like in the beginning of '96, and then they were like making up like the Nacho Man and Billionaire
Gilbert,
Ted
and all that
stuff, and you're just like you think about that now and it's like, man, like,
well, hey, it goes twofold though. WCW was equally bad. Vincent, hello.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But it's interesting to like, instead of just being like, oh, that's our competition, we're not going to acknowledge them. Instead, it's like, oh, let's, because like Ted DiBiase's whole like Trillionaire Ted, that was basically based off the Billionaire
yep.
Ted.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
You know what? You're not supposed to acknowledge your competition like that, especially when you're on top. So.
Right. Like imagine if that was like I don't know, that like say like Fox and ABC, mm-hmm. you know, like they're different TV networks and then literally just making fun of the other. It's kind of like an interesting fact of like why are you even acknowledging that they exist? Just say fuck.
Absolutely.
How's it going, guys?
Good. How's it going?
Hello.
Hey. Good to see ya. But no, it's just kind of an interesting thing to think about. Like I was just like listening to, just watching all the Wrestling Ted footage like just recently, and it was like, man, these guys are petty as shit.
They're all bad. Let's just put them into one little box.
Oh yeah,
and just say
absolutely.
Bad.
It wasn't one or the other. They were just equally just kind of like, all right,
yep.
just move along, promote your shit. You know, it's like your mom says, worry about yourself.
Absolutely.
Or your dad, you know, if you know, depending on who was the one that said to your parents, we'll say that.
I'll just
your guardian.
Keep to my own business.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Worry about yourself. You would think that would, you know, a bunch of grown-ass adults would have figured out, but
no.
I guess not.
We're wrestlers. We're childs at heart. So.
Exactly.
Children at heart.
So you get into wrestling. You start training here at the Thumper's Den. You start wrestling for BCW. You've done a lot of more stuff here in the Midwest. So what's that like? Kind of, you know, starting it as like, oh, let's see where this avenue goes, and now it's like, oh, it's actually gone quite a few places.
You know what? I live each day like moment to moment. I really am not a big like looking towards my future kind of guy, and I just react on the moment, kind of like improv, you know. And I really do live that lifestyle, and I'm blessed for it. Like it's I'm definitely humbled by the fact that I can be a part of such a great promotion, such a great business, and you know, experience everything that I have experienced
right.
already in, you know, basically a little over a year since I started training. I'm very humbled by the whole thing.
So it's kind of an interesting thing to point out as well that you got to wrestle in your high school. So what's that kind of like to kind of, because you obviously you're not still in high school when they were here,
mm-hmm.
but you know, you come back to the alma mater. What was that like to be, you know, like, oh, I went to school here and now I'm wrestling here?
You know what? I've been a big supporter of my old high school, and I've volunteered for a lot of stuff. So, you know, a lot of people knew me mm-hmm. and recognized me, and I guess they got to experience that other side, you know, the wackiness that, you know, is Aesop Mitchell. And to me, it was just another performance. I really do just like going out, and whether it be 5 people or 500 people, 5,000 people, I'm going to go out and give all that I got as sure. far as Aesop Mitchell is concerned.
So, after the show's over, after you had your match and everything, you get to see any of the teachers or any of them like, yeah, I'm not surprised that you're a wrestler.
I saw a lot of my friends from from high school, and I did meet a couple of the teachers, and they weren't surprised. You know,
they're just like, yeah, I mean,
my type of antics in high school seem to lend fairly well into the wrestling world, so
it's always interesting to kind of see that side of it. The people that, you know, really didn't know you were in wrestling, and then they see you, and it's like, yeah, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, they're more shocked by the beard. To be completely honest, that's
were you just straight up babyface in high school?
Oh god, I couldn't grow facial hair to save my life.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting to kind of go from like, you know, not even able to grow peach fuzz, and then it's like, oh, good lord.
As soon as I started wrestling, the hair grew in nice and even. So you're
crediting wrestling to your facial hair.
To my pelosial awesomeness.
So I guess screw all this beard oil and everything that gets promoted. Just
pretty much.
Everybody needs to start wrestling for the
longer. Yeah, pretty much.
It's a good way to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously save a couple bucks. Well, I guess it'll be offset. Yeah, you know, travel expenses, everything would maybe offset the.
Yeah, I've shelled out a fair amount. I'm sure you have as well.
Oh, absolutely. But I mean, at the same time, really the only thing you're trading off is travel expenses, and you're paying for other stuff opposed to paying for beard oil that may or may not work, but it's guaranteed by 3 doctors or whatever the hell they always advertise.
For me, it's guaranteed by about 3 very attractive women at my barber. So
there you go.
I'll take that way more than doctors.
So. You said that you kind of treat everything just, you know, day by day kind of thing with wrestling. But, I mean, do you have anything on your list that you're kind of like, I really want to try to do this, you know, in the near future?
You know, I'm trying to wrestle more out of state. I want to get the Aesop Mitchell brand out there. You know, I've done shows in Minnesota and Michigan so far, and Illinois as well. Pretty soon I'm going to be doing one in Iowa, and hopefully even farther than that. I want to take a little bit more seminars too, you know, really soak in all the knowledge that, you know, veterans have.
That's
where wrestling is and how it keeps going. It's very much a lineage business, so.
Definitely. So one thing that started doing with Kerry Offal is talking about like your Mount Rushmore of the people that kind of shaped your career. So who was your Mount Rushmore?
Oh, dear God. I have to think of 4 wrestlers. Yeah, well, I've already said...
You already said Billy Kidman.
Billy Kidman.
And Ultimate Dragon.
Just for posterity's sake, I have to continue to say that. It's really hard to put anything on the head for that. I feel like I'm giving wrestling a bad rub.
See, you know, for the people that can't see it, we have Brandon Blaze getting close to Aesop Mitchell. Might have to change shirts. So just basically put those wordplay together and just understand Brandon Blaze and, like, I know exactly what he's doing.
I really do like a lot of Marty Jones and Johnny Saint, very old British wrestling. I've really tried to master a lot of those techniques and the spots that I see through them. But that's really it. Like I like to take from that old school style,
sure.
That old English style especially. So, you know, it really Derek St. Holmes has been a great influence to me as well. Someone that I've had the pleasure of tagging with and will continue to tag with and work. So that's been great.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's your Mount Rushmore is pretty interesting because, you know, a lot of people will always cite like the, you know, mainly WWF guys, you know, or maybe AWA guys depending mm-hmm. on the age. But like, you know, for you, it's like it's old British wrestling and WCW. Like, it's a good combo. I'm not shitting on it.
I'd also say like old Mick Foley, so like Cactus Jack era stuff,
like 93 Mick Foley.
Yeah, like. Just for the personality alone, you know,
sure.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not exactly a deathmatch king.
No, you're not, you know, gonna fall off any cells anytime soon.
Exactly, but his persona was amazing.
Oh, absolutely.
It's pretty hard not for me not to go back and watch like 93 Halloween Havoc, mm-hmm. him and Vader. Like, that is so awesome.
Yeah, I mean, you know, speaking of Mount Rushmore, is that, like, easily Mick Foley's on a Mount Rushmore for, like, best promo work.
Because, absolutely.
You know, he's one of those guys that, like, he would start off really slow and really timid, but then get really, like, angry. And you just, like, you'd have to shift and be like, oh, I have to listen to what he says. And he yells, like, oh, my God. And then you're just like, all right.
It's hard to pick four guys.
Oh, yeah,
I can easily pick a... God, probably another 20 more.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
And it's just for promo work alone. You still got Randy Savage. You still got Jimmy Valiant. Like, it's impossible for me to pick just four. So,
right.
Sorry if I dodged that question. But
it's a good political answer, though. So maybe if wrestling and improv doesn't work, maybe politics.
Oh,
in the
God.
Future.
No.
But, you know, but I mean, either way, you're good at dodging questions. But here's a question you can't dodge because it's an easy one. Social media, how do people get a hold of you on the interwebs?
Absolutely. You can find me on Facebook at Aesop Mitchell, AESOP. I'm also on Twitter at @the_fabled_1, the word one. And I'm also on Instagram under Cream City Traveler. So
perfect.
Feel free.
All right, well, make sure to follow Aesop Mitchell on the social medias and also follow him on his journey in pro wrestling.
Please
and
do.
And also make sure to check him out at Comedy Sports in Milwaukee, right?
Yep.
The Milwaukee brand. So make sure to do all three of those things. So, Aesop, thank you for doing the interview.
Thank you. I'm going to go change my shirt now.
All righty. Good idea.
Hello, wrestling fans. Colt Cabana coming to you live from the 1 Hour Tease Arena in beautiful Chicago, Illinois. The pro wrestling action has been great so far. As you can see, Joey really dominating the ring so far. There's a beautiful belly-to-back suplex. And looks like Joey's shirt has been ripped.
What's up with that? You ripped my shirt.
Let's go check an instant replay, see exactly what happened. There you can see Joey's shirt ripped from the collar, and that's not good when you're trying to wear your pro wrestling t-shirt.
Man, you ripped my shirt. It's my only shirt. Joey.
Hey, it looks like Ryan from 1 Hour Tees just threw Joey Ryan a brand new t-shirt.
Thanks, Pro Wrestling Tees.
ProWrestlingTees.com, over 3,000 wrestling t-shirts designed and sold by pro wrestlers. Wrestlers such as Steve Austin, CM Punk, Macho Man, Mick Foley, DDP, Andre the Giant, Jake the Snake, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Scott Hall, Ted DiBiase, Colt Cabana, Joey Ryan, Cliff Compton, and the entire Bullet Club. All stores owned by pro wrestlers. Support pro wrestling today and visit ProWrestlingTees.com.
Hey, Grapple Talk listeners. This is Chris from Spot Monkey Media. Are you a professional wrestler, a promoter, a business owner? Spot Monkey Media is graphic design for the wrestling professional. We offer design services for t-shirts, event posters, 8x10s, logos, and even ring gear. But if you're not in the wrestling business, we work outside the ropes. Go to spotmonkeymedia.com for more information. Spot Monkey Media. Create your legacy.
Hey, this is Dave Dynasty from the Dave Dynasty Show. Hey, check out our weekly podcast where you get my take on wrestling headlines. I answer listener questions and I interview your favorite independent wrestling stars. You can find us at www.davedynasty.com or look up the Dave Dynasty Show on iTunes, SoundCloud, and YouTube. Thanks for your support.
Hi, this is the Minnesota Madman, Doug Meyer, host of the wrestling podcast on the DVM Podcast Empire.
One Ball Radio.
We recap Raw, NXT, Ring of Honor, and other shows of the week. We interview wrestlers, go back in time with This Week in Wrestling History, and we go, hey, whatever happened to? Check us out on iTunes or DVMPE.com.
Great interview with Aesop Mitchell. Always a fan of that guy's work. Again, it shocked the hell out of me when I realized that he was in Comedy Sports. Love Comedy Sports when I was going to school in Milwaukee. And it's really great to see a guy like that and, you know, succeed and have a very interesting past before getting to pro wrestling. So definitely look out for him if you ever see him. He wrestles primarily for Brew City Wrestling, Gali Lucha Libre. He's been doing some stuff for River City Championship Wrestling. He's been there a couple times. And I mean, he's doing something that not many people are doing. At intermission, he stays in character. He, you know, messes, you know, he essentially messes with the kids. And of course, if the kids are really into it, and if he's, you know, if he's really giving them a reason to hate him, then that's going to bring fans back, that boomerang effect. And I think that he's doing a great job with that. So honestly, some promoters, all promoters should be keeping an eye on him 100%.
You know, he's definitely the product of what the Thumper's Den Wrestling Academy in West Dallas can do for you. Good segue
of BCW. Talking about upcoming shows here for the rest of July. Here's where I will be.
Upcoming shows.
BCW at Port Fish Days in Port Washington, Wisconsin. It's a fair show. I assume, just like many fair shows, the admission is the price to get into the fair. This is actually an exciting show that I'm looking forward to taking a part in. I'll actually be sitting down with Stacy Shadows for another interview down the road. Just kind of a redo. We did it a couple weeks ago for BCW, but just decided didn't like the format of it. You know, there's some stuff that we had to take out anyway, so might as well just redo it. Plus, it was another chance to talk with Stacy Shadows, and she's one of my favorite people to talk to. Next week after that, BCW, July 21st, back at the Knights of Columbus in West Dallas, Wisconsin. The next day, ACW at Tanner's in Kimberly, Wisconsin. Not booked on that one either, but I will certainly be going to show my support for Devin Kane and Maroon, you know, two of the guys in my area. And of course, you know, Tanner's, ACW, it's always a good time. And then of course, they have a lot of great food there as well. So side note for that, maybe stop there for dinner and a couple of brews, but who knows. And then of course, to wrap up the rest of July, July 29th, Wisconsin Professional Wrestling. They'll be there at Green Bay, Wisconsin at the Stadium View Bar and Grill for Stadium Mania. This is their fourth Stadium Mania. I was there for the first one as a commentator, and man, what a great show. It's basically Wisconsin's WrestleMania, if you couldn't tell by the name. But stacked cards so far, a lot of great matches going into it, a lot of first-time matches, and of course a lot of great stories being told of that as well, and a lot of great feuds in there. Case in point, Ben McCoy and Joey Avalon tearing it up there. It's going to be an exciting time, looking forward to it. So that's where I will be this July. Make sure to follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. On Facebook, you can check me out at AC Riley WI for Wisconsin, because that's where I am from. And then on Twitter and Instagram, you can follow me at Wrong Alex Riley. And of course, you can also check out my Pro Wrestling Tees page at also prowrestlingtees.com/WrongAlexRiley. Get yourself a shirt. The Fallout shirt is out there. I love it. It's my favorite design. And honestly, I would buy it if I didn't already have one. I don't need, you know, multiple shirts, because that's just insane. But go buy one for yourself. You can get it in the colors of different shades of blue. Three shades of blue, not 50 shades of gray. I don't know why I made that analogy, but you get the point. But yeah, that's all I got for you for the Riley Factor. Hopefully we'll be doing more of this. Hopefully you enjoyed it. I certainly enjoyed getting it. And hopefully we'll be doing more of these down the road as we expand the Grapple Talk.